Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. Parents are finally pushing back against critical race theory. It's time for normal people to reclaim their government. We have what it takes. It's time for us to do it. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
American Airlines is now effectively investigating one of their employees for doing something that we have been calling for people to do for quite some time. So one of the things that I was hoping for and advocating for quite some time was that parents are going to rise up and push back against critical race theory. The sinister, insidious, dangerous, evil belief that has plagued schools across the country. And it's starting to happen organically. This is giving me hope. This is some of the good news of what's happening in the country. This is something where, you know, we spoke at our Freedom Square event at Dream City Church in Arizona, and I said that we need parents to start to show up to school board meetings. In fact, I even said, once I get back, I'm going to start to show up to school board meetings across the country. And this is starting to happen. Parents are actually starting to wake up. I am starting to see an organic, completely grassroots movement that is pushing back against the KKK literature that your children are learning from. Cut one is parents in Loudoun County have been speaking out against reading these books that have been given to children. So cut one, but this does not go without a cost. Let's play cut one.
Jasper wasn't even my boyfriend, just this dude I did some hacking with once in a while. He was pretty basic library systems, low security shit. Not in my league at all, but he had a big and sometimes a girl just needs a big.
Her top lip curled up. Wait a minute, is that what's really going on? She did your homework and you ate her. Is that why you're crying?
It's okay, it's cool. This is what girls do at parties, I told myself and kept dancing with the boy. I couldn't see the alcohol making my waist wind faster. If this is inappropriate for me to read to you, this is inappropriate for our children.
So this one was more particularly parents in Loudoun County schools pushing back against the graphic sexual literature from the freshman English class that was being taught in Loudoun County, Virginia, in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., in Northern Virginia. Finally, parents are starting to read what their children are learning. Finally. And they say, but To Kill a Mockingbird is unacceptable because it engages in white saviorism, which is this idea that whites are going to be the saviors of blacks. Okay, if that's now the new standard, then Black Lives Matter should refund all the contributions that they received from white liberals across the country. Black Lives Matter should now refund every single contribution they got from corporations. In fact, every single black student in the country should say that they are going to refund their scholarship unless it was funded by another black person. In fact, every single black family that is getting taxpayer-funded assistance that might have been funded by a white person should refund it. Is that the new standard now? Because now they're teaching your children that literature that reinforces the white savior myth is dangerous. You know, like Atticus Fish standing up, Atticus Finch standing up for Boo Radley. That it's the white savior myth. Okay, so let me get this straight. When you stand up for what's right and you try to fight racism, you're actually being a racist because you're trying to save black people. So is the new position of Black Lives Matter and BLM Incorporated, they can save themselves? I guess. But this does not come without a cost. We covered extensively on this program and also in some of our public speeches how in Southlake, Texas, with over 70% support, the school board was taken back. The school board was taken back by parents and was completely reshaped because of normal people standing up against critical race theory, being unafraid of being called the R word. But this is now coming at a cost. Guy Midkiff of Southlake, Texas, is a pilot for American Airlines. But American Airlines, which is now basically an arm of the Democrat Party, says it's investigating a Texas-based pilot who spoke against an effort by his local school district to implement elements of critical race theory. American Airlines is now inserting themselves into local school board politics. The Southlake Anti-Racism Coalition said to American Airlines, quote, "Your employee has been harassing students and community members relentlessly for months for speaking out against the racism they experience in our town." Right. "From targeting individual minors and accosting our organization, here are just some of the most recent unprofessional comments." And there's really nothing here at all, of course. But now American Airlines said in their official Twitter account, they're taking a closer look at this. So now American Airlines does not have loyalty to their pilots or to their employees. They have loyalty to some angry, baseless KKK organization that exists in Southlake, Texas. So now every time that you go board American Airlines, you have to understand that you are now funding a Democrat super PAC. You might as well write a check to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Might as well. You might as well just write a check to Chuck Schumer every time that you get on American Airlines. Now, I know that a lot of you are going to email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Well, Charlie, what do I do? This is the tyranny of the framework that the Republican Party has created for us. And I have just realized how we have just been so deceived, so tricked, so fooled. And I'm talking about almost every Republican in elected office over the last 30 years. They pandered to these corporations. They cut their taxes. They deregulated them. They went to their cocktail parties. They took their money for their campaigns. And so, yes, you're right. These airlines now dominate with only four or five options in the country. And Republicans pandering to the interests of big business, trying to bring in cheap labor and cheap money and cheap products, now are aghast and stunned that the very same corporations that they carried the water for are now all of a sudden the enforcement arm of the Democrat Party. Let me reiterate this. That American Airlines, a multi-billion dollar company that is tasked with transporting human beings safely, hopefully, from JFK to LAX, is now involving themselves in a local school district race in Southlake, Texas. And Republicans are just so confused because they don't understand the nature of what we are dealing with. They don't understand that we are not dealing with a Democrat party of the 80s or 90s where we have this wonderful debate and dialogue. Now, this is something much different. Look, for many of you that watch our live stream or our radio show, listen to our radio show, you know I talk about Relief Factor a lot. And look, truth is, I know millions of people are in some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older, that can do it. That's why I'm so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely seen this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their number of total happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip or knee pain, or even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain. So go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. The Talbots are amazing people. Check it out. Relieffactor.com. I am given hope when parents start to rise up and take ownership of what their children are being taught. This is something we've actually been pretty intense about the last couple months. And finally, parents are starting to do this. But this is all really built on what I consider to be one of the biggest lies of our country. And it's a misunderstanding of history. It's the 1619 Project propaganda. It's during this entire alleged racial reckoning moment in our country that was only... it was only magnified because of the George Floyd situation. And because we have not taught our children history, and quite honestly, most parents have been rather lazy and uninterested in teaching their children history. They just don't know how. We have allowed the entire premise of the founding of our country to be flawed. And quite honestly, a couple years ago, when I was doing my campus lectures, I even accepted the premise far too much. If you go back to some of my campus lectures 3 or 4 years ago, I didn't really challenge this point. I kind of said, yes, there was slavery, but look how much we've done since. That is the wrong argument. It is. It almost accepts the premise that the founding fathers were slavery apologists, which is the absolute opposite of the truth. It's not just a lie. It's an untruth, to use an Orwellian newspeak term. That the founding fathers and the founding of America actually planted the seeds for the death of slavery in America. James Madison, the father of the United States Constitution, famously said, quote, "It would be wrong to admit that one man can own property in another man." The founders were true defenders of eternal principles. Do you know that George Washington famously said about slavery? That he demands out of the people and the government of America a, quote, plan adopted for the abolition of slavery. And George Washington freed his slaves before his death. Here's a good question that you can ask some of your 1619 Project white liberal friends. Where and when was the first anti-slavery convention ever held? When was the first gathering of people who sought to abolish slavery? Where was it held and when was it held? Answer: Philadelphia in 1775. That's right. In Philadelphia of 1775, before the signing of the Declaration of Independence, before the revolution was largely underway, the Quakers, with blacks present, founded the first ever Society for the Relief of Blacks Held in Bondage. They used a different word, but I'm not going to use it on radio. The first American society dedicated to the cause of abolition was founded on April 14th, 1775, before the Declaration of Independence. Did you know that Benjamin Franklin became the president of the Anti-Slavery Society in Philadelphia? That Benjamin Franklin served as the president seeking to abolish slavery, and yet they're trying to remove Benjamin Franklin's statue at the University of Pennsylvania. America's founding made specific claims about human nature and power. And its guiding principles ended up being the fulfillment of why we abolished slavery. And to say that the founding fathers were slavery apologists is a pathological lie. There is not one piece of evidence in their private journals, their public speeches, or their actions that show that the founding fathers were trying to defend the institution of slavery. And yet your children are being taught this in real time, and we are allowing our history and our culture to be abused, to be misrepresented. Those that control the past control the present. And those that control the present control the past. George Orwell famously said that in 1984. And so if we do not contest with every single tool at our disposal, why were we founded? Who are we? What is America? And this is our home that is a beautiful, magical place. And if the Republican Party is going to be the, well, we're not a racist country party. No, we're the opposite of that. We're not just not a racist country. We're a benevolent country. A moral country. Ever wondered how free-to-access social media companies make all their money? Well, by tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, and then by selling your valuable data. But you don't have to give big tech website access to your data. That's why I choose to protect my online activity by using ExpressVPN. When I use ExpressVPN, I'm anonymized anytime I go online, and your presence will be hidden, including your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's even more is ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from eavesdroppers on your network. And the ExpressVPN app couldn't be easier to use. You just tap one button on your phone and computer and you're protected. Take back your online privacy with the VPN that I trust at expressvpn.com/Kirk. By visiting my link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free on a one-year package. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Kirk, expressvpn.com/Kirk. Abraham Lincoln, American principles are a standard maxim for a free society. Every child should be taught that, but they're not. Instead, it's the opposite. The infiltration has gone largely unchallenged until now. We are starting to see parents, we're starting to see normal people stand up because our leaders have done nothing. Now, I do want to give a shout out to the governor of Oklahoma. Now, the governor of Oklahoma has signed a total ban of critical race theory in the state of Oklahoma. So if you are looking for someone to thank, I encourage you to go to the governor of Oklahoma's website and thank him for not allowing critical race theory in the state of Oklahoma. Cut 39, Chantel Cooper. I saw her speech. As soon as I saw it, I said, this is awesome. This is what we need. Every parent in the country should be raising attention, overthrowing tables, because your children are being taught to hate the country and hate themselves. Cut 39.
CRT is not an honest dialogue. It is a tactic that was used by Hitler and the Ku Klux Klan on slavery very many years ago to dumb down my ancestors so we could not think for ourselves. CRT is racist. It is abusive. It discriminates against one's color. Today, we don't need your agreement. We want action and a backbone for what we ask for today, to ban CRT. We don't want your political advertisement to divide our children or belittle them. Think twice before you indoctrinate such racist theories. You cannot tell me what is or is not racist. Look at me.
A black woman passionately fighting for her children and our nation. Standing up for what is right and what is good in the world. She went on Tucker Carlson and said something very similar. Cut 36 of her on Tucker Carlson. Cut 36.
What made you do this? So many parents have not done this. You stood up there and did this on camera. Why?
Well, it contradicts everything that Martin Luther King fought for. It's hatred, Marxist ideology, and it places the child in a loophole of oppression, making them feel as a victim. I can't stand for that. You cannot further brotherhood of a man by encouraging class hatred. our Constitution is what unites us, not the color of our skin.
Yes.
So America, it's just time for us to stand up for one another.
She has more wisdom than most people that I've seen that have fought on this issue. And they're going to come after her. I guarantee there'll be some journalist that follows her through the street. Who cares? And for those of you asking, emailing us freedom@charliekirk.com, and you're looking for someone to thank and you want some heroes in the fight, it's Governor Kevin Stitt of Oklahoma, who signed a ban of critical race theory. We did an event in Oklahoma. I had a chance to talk to Governor Stitt privately, and I am so pleased he did what he said he was going to do. Unlike the governor of North Dakota, unlike other governors, Governor Stitt did the right thing, and he deserves to be thanked for that. So the question is, will people start to rise up against this, and what are we actually rising up against? Well, it's very simple. There is this American idea that how you look is irrelevant. The rest of the world is perplexed by this idea. And by the way, there's no guarantee this idea is going to work. In fact, that moment in time that we had where we cared about character, not skin color, that moment might be ending. We might be entering into a new bitter chapter of identity politics, the likes of which will tear us apart. Where all of a sudden we're going to be so race conscious, and all of a sudden you're going to see some very sinister, malevolent, and awful things happen as a result of that. Real radicalism that will stun you. But for those of us that actually care about our nation and care about our home, we're going to hold the line for as long as possible. And we're going to put these people on defense for what they have been doing and teaching our children. And we have to understand that republics, which is what we have, we're not a democracy, are historically very fragile. Now, a democracy, as we've gone through many different times, is fundamentally different than a republic. We had a whole conversation with Senator Mike Lee about this on our podcast. I encourage you to check it out. A republic is where there are very clear rules for legislators and for the government that protect pre-existing natural rights, the existence to life, liberty, property, consciousness. The Ninth Amendment being one of my favorite amendments, even though it is the place, I think it was Bork, I could be wrong, we can get a fact check on this, who said it was the ink blot on the Constitution. I don't think it was that explicit, but the Ninth Amendment is one of my favorite amendments. It actually is never used, but it's the amendment that says, hey, there are other rights that are articulated, that are out there, that are not necessarily articulated in the Constitution. Now, what's a democracy? It was Bork. Ha, good. I am a wealth of seemingly useless information until it becomes useful. The idea of a democracy, of course, was tried by the Athenians, is almost destined to fail, because eventually people will vote simply and primarily not in their own best interest, but in their own pleasure. It's a big difference. Not to pursue virtue, but wherever it will give them a thrill or make them comfortable. And democracy is not a rights-based system. It's not. So a republic, by a definition, is a rights-based system. This is a hard thing, by the way, to preserve. Because when you have rights that are protected more than anything else, like individual rights, you are going to have inequality. You are going to have differences of outcome. You are going to have some people succeed more than others. Now, some of that, by the way, that we're seeing in real time, like Jeff Bezos buying a $500 million yacht, is a byproduct of not markets or individual liberty or rights, but pure and total corruption. And if the conservative movement's going to stand for anything, is the conservative movement should do a press conference and invite Bernie Sanders to participate, saying the conservative movement does not think that it's a healthy or a good thing for our nation, for our country, for our home, for our republic, for what we care about, to have one man be worth $165 billion to purchase a $500 million yacht while he pays very little in corporate income taxes and has a server company made to a package delivery company while he's propagandizing our nation on the top of books that we can read the type of information we can process. That is not a conservative value. That is a corporatist value, and it's a power-centric value. Now, this type of language is very confusing to certain conservatives that have been in elected office for the last 20 years, because like, well, who are we to say that Bezos shouldn't have $165 billion? Bezos only has that money because he infringes on your rights. And this is where the natural rights doctrine, I think, needs to be reconsidered by conservatives, where natural rights are worthy of protection, whether they are infringed upon by big government or big corporations, or by big celebrities, or by other individuals. Now, some people say, well, they're a private company. Spare me the swan song for Amazon, as if they're the local baker or the local laundry shop, laundromat. So the founders, and this is what we're really fighting right now with this critical race theory, just garbage. They hated an absolute monarchy and an aristocracy. Just read Federalist 10 or Federalist 51, which might be one of the greatest pieces of American literature. I think it was Madison that wrote 51, either Madison or Hamilton. 51 is probably the most often cited. And so the question is, if the founding fathers hated a monarchy and an aristocracy, 51 was Madison. I was right. Why is it that we should not challenge the current aristocracy and monarchy that we're living under? If all men are created equal, which it says very simply in our founding documents, and we on this program take the position that the Declaration and the Constitution are married together, that I believe it was Abraham Lincoln that said we'll get the quote. Connor will look it up. It's a Lincoln quote about the frame of silver and gold. Anyway, that the entire United States Revolution, which made our world possible, and it's now fragile, it's cracking in front of us. I want you to think of this visual. I want you to think that you are in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. If anyone's listening in the state of Wisconsin, give us an email, freedom@charliekirk.com. I love the state of Wisconsin. It's some of the greatest people on the planet live in Wisconsin. Humble, hardworking, Midwestern patriots. Love Wisconsin. I want you to imagine you're in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and it's February. For those of you that have grown up in the Midwest, you know this phenomenon. And the entire lake is frozen. In fact, when I was growing up, we used to drive up to a specific cabin, and the lake got so frozen, you could drive our SUV onto the lake. You could do ice fishing or whatever, but it was so thick. It must have been 2 feet thick. So I want you to imagine you're walking on this ice lake. And you're confident that it's going to hold. And you're in the middle of the lake, and it starts to crack around you. And you know that if you make the wrong movement too quickly or too suddenly, you're going to end up in the water and possibly dead of hypothermia, suffocation, or both. This, what we have right now, is incredibly fragile. And the question should be, especially for those of us that care about the nation, not just about short-term profit maximization, not just about corporate boards, not just about country club invitations, no, about the nation. We're going to get into what a nation is, because it's a very unique thing. It's actually a biblical idea where it comes from. Now, we must understand that we should be opposed to the rights given to us naturally from all different vectors. So have the American people truly consented to the current oligarchy that we're living under? The ice is cracking underneath us. For those of us that actually are aware, we see the fault lines. We see it happening. It's not too late. It's not too late to handle this correctly. But again, the Constitution sought to achieve a balance between the small things that matter and the big things that are necessary. And that's what I want to explore with you in the next segment. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. This idea of small and big. which should matter more right now. Did you know that 80% of the grass-fed beef sold in the United States is imported from overseas? It's staggering. That's why I get my meat from GoodRanchers.com, because their product is 100% American. When you buy your steak and chicken from Good Ranchers, not only are you getting amazing meat, but you're also supporting American farms. My friends at Good Ranchers have traveled the United States and met with actual farmers that raise the livestock to ensure the product they are sending to your table is the very best. All the product is individually wrapped and it eliminates waste. GoodRanchers.com safely delivers American craft beef, better than organic chicken, right to your door. Buy one time, or better yet, subscribe. Check out the Family Fest Bundle. If you subscribe, you will save 20% with each purchase. Subscribing brings the cost per meal down to just $2.38 per meal. That includes steak, chicken, and more. Stop trying to play the grocery store guessing game. Know where your meat comes from with GoodRanchers.com. Support American farmers. Go to GoodRanchers.com to get $20 off and free express shipping. 100% American beef and chicken. Chicken is always 100% all natural. No antibiotics ever, no hormones added ever, better than organic, individually wrapped, vacuum sealed, and ready to go. And don't forget, you're always get free express shipping, safe and convenient way to shop. Go to goodranchers.com/Charlie, goodranchersthenes.com/Charlie. The Founding Fathers valued things that were small. Founding Fathers valued things that mattered more than things that were necessary. They valued the family. They valued virtue. They valued property, the farm. They valued their children. And they valued their nation. You see, we've done the opposite now. We are now crushing things that are small and that matter, like the family, our values, children, the church, to glorify this abstract thing that is very large. Not just government, but it's this Leviathan is the word I'll use. This all-encompassing beast that seems to be suffocating the decent because the indecent wish it to be so. And what's so frustrating and perplexing and confusing about this is that there's a massive imbalance of the amount of people that are actually demanding this sort of action to happen, the people that are sitting idly by, and the people it's happening to. We are basically being governed by less than half of 1% of the country that is pathologically determined to remake America by the editing of our history, the changing of the Constitution, the stuffing of certain people down memory holes. And to put that, this belief that power is not a means, but power is an end. We are living through a simulated, designed struggle. Again, this struggle is designed. This is not one where we just stumbled backwards into. This is not something that just escalated. This, everything that we are living through has been designed and simulated for the purpose of justifying more power. We call this cancel culture at times. We call this insanity, and I think insanity is actually a pretty good word for it, but we use that term too much. What I think that most people have to recognize and realize is that as the ice continues to crack under decent America, as our nation kind of struggles and grapples with this, the only hope we have, and it's the hope that Orwell wrote time and time again. So as you study 1984, not just read it, but you study it, you could tell when Orwell is actually writing his own thoughts. He was a Democrat socialist, but he hated totalitarianism. Didn't quite understand how the two were tied together. But the point that he kept on refraining time and time again, and it was a false hope in the book, was that the hope is in the proletariat. The hope is in the proles. If there's ever going to be something that changes the current tyranny that Winston was living under in 1984, it was going to be the plumbers and the welders and the parents and the normal people. But the problem is that they don't know how, or they're too busy with their own life. And so as we're living through this orchestrated simulation, the theatrics of the left that preys on our worst impulses. And as the woman Chantel Cooper said, it's designed to divide us, but the division is only the means to the actual end, which is the power. Which is to move people on other sides of the room and they can come in and all of a sudden they can justify the pure and simple redefinition of how they want us to live. This is why they want vaccine passports. This is why they can't let go of masks. This is why they have a religious obsession with whether or not you have gone by the same health guidelines that they have gone through the last year. Guess what? We haven't. And we've lived a wonderful life in the last year. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. And if you want to email us your thoughts, go to freedom@charliekirk.com to email us. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.